Thank God for worship. Amen. Yes. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Yes. Luke chapter 4. Jesus comes into the synagogue. The book says, as was his custom. In other words, Jesus had a habit, a bad habit of going to church. Yeah. What a habit to have. To know that when the first day of the week rolls around, there's an anticipation and a sense of excitement about heading to the house of the Lord. How many of y'all really feel like that? I mean, really, really feel like that. I have to confess and admit, I actually like getting ready on Sunday. Yeah. And it used to be because I had something to do, but now I'm just happy to be anywhere, praise God, and to be around my brothers and sisters. I imagine if we don't get practice down here, we probably won't be able to get none up wherever we're going. This is a dress rehearsal.
That's right.
We're getting ready for the event, people. Jesus knew where to be on the Sabbath. Every Jew knew where to be. Every believer knows where to be. And it's not so much a place, but a people. People who are connected to God. People who share in the like struggles of daily vicissitudes, you know, dealing with the stuff. But you can come to the house of the Lord. And on this occasion, they handed Jesus a scroll. The word there for the minister is the deacon of the synagogue. Handed, amen, the Messiah, the scroll that he wrote. And for their sake, he found a place. In Isaiah 61, and he began to read about himself. Had that been me, we wouldn't have got through service. There's nowhere in the world I'm going to read something I wrote and let you think you wrote it. No, you're going to know that I wrote that. But aren't you glad that he went to the synagogue that morning, opened up the scroll, and he began to read. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about that spirit, that quiet third person of the Godhead. You know, that person that we don't talk much about because we're afraid that we might say the wrong thing, or we don't know what to say, so we don't say anything. You cannot read Luke's narrative without identifying the work of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 1, 2, and 3, on six different occasions, he references the Holy Spirit. He references it in relationship to Mary, who is to be the one to bring forth the Son of God. He mentions it in relationship to Elizabeth, to Simeon, to Anna, to those individuals to whom Jesus the Lord had chosen to bear witness. The Spirit of God is present in the ministry and life of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We learned on last week that the Spirit basically does three fundamental things. And what I say by fundamental, I'm using that word in a very practical way to lay a foundation for where we're going. We learned that this Spirit that Jesus received is the same Spirit that God gives us. You know, he received his at the baptism. We've talked about the administration of that Spirit in his life in ushering him into the beginnings of his ministry. People, that same Spirit is alive and living today. I think we're going to let that Spirit back in our lives. When we say we want to see Jesus and when we say we want the Spirit back, we're not talking about this facility. Our movement in the kingdom must be beyond these walls. We're talking about a radical movement of changing the world. Do you not know the world is changing us? Just check your values, check your morals, check your philosophy of life. Most of us have lined up with what the world says. We're not supposed to be a conformist group of folk. We're to be the real transformers. Amen. Amen. We ought to break out with, you know. Don't turn into no monster. We got enough monsters as it is, but not in here, but I'm just saying. If you're going to transform, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's spiritual work. Not like what Jesus does. Right out the gate, he reads about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I believe that Spirit today in the 21st century does three things. And we're working through this on Wednesday night, so if you want some teaching on the Holy Spirit, come on out. We've got to revisit this topic because we got to begin to let him have his way in our lives. I think the Spirit can bring some stuff that was dead back alive again. Amen. Lively spirits, lively attitudes, lively living. We've learned thus far that the Spirit does, number one, it indwells the believer. Get John chapter 14 and verse 16 and 17. I won't go over this, all of this, but we know that it indwells. That word there means to take up residence. It's the Greek word meno, which literally means to come and stay. Amen? Amen. You know, it's kind of like when relatives come over. We talked about this last week. We don't want them to stay, so we help them when they come to the door. I'm glad you came to visit. Yeah, the word visit is the operative term, which means you will not be there. You got it. You got it. See, well, this is a good group. We ain't got to spend long on no word study. You get it. Amen. Somebody says, is this sermon staying or are you visiting? Now, this is a meno sermon. We're going to stay a while. But he comes, and we've learned, and we are learning that the Spirit takes up residence in the heart and in the mind. Doesn't get in your hands and in your feet, especially if it ain't in your head. Say amen, somebody. A lot of folk want stuff in their hands. Well, they were doing that at the rodeo last night. I know that wasn't the Holy Spirit, because I saw a friend of mine over there. He had Jack, and another one had Jim, and then what was the one you were? Yeah. The other spirits. But the Spirit can animate the mind. The mind controls the body. And the body, according to Romans 12, ought to be presented to God as a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. I go get energy for my God. I'm quickened by the Spirit. I understand that. And so when Jesus starts off his ministry, he lets the world know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And notice the work of that Spirit. He has anointed me. He's covered me. He's anointed me. He's directing me. Watch this now. To preach the gospel to the poor. To heal the brokenhearted. To set at liberty those who have been captive. To bring sight to the blind. To declare the year of Jubilee. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord ought to be among the Lord's people. We are the ones who ought to be transformers. We ought not have the world changing us. Amen. I was sitting on my horse last night, and a good friend of mine, Robert, he knows I'm a preacher, you know, and the other brother, Eric's friend, didn't know that I was a preacher. And he was dropping the F-bombs, just dropping them like it was hot. You know, and it was, I'm just saying, he was just dropping them. You know, and I don't mean family either. He was just dropping them. And he was dropping them like it was normal. Like him and Robert do that all the time. So I backed up my horse a little bit, and I looked over at Robert, and Robert went to laugh, and he said, man, he ought not be talking like that. He ought to know you're a preacher. Well, he don't know. He don't know. And I didn't say anything, you know. You know why? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Sometimes, see, and if I had got in there with them, if I'd have got up in there with them, say amen. Then they, you know, then after a while, when I didn't reciprocate, and Robert didn't reciprocate because Robert don't talk that way around me. I don't think Robert talks that way at all, but not around me. You know, and I didn't throw up no big church sign saying, you know, I'm a Christian, you know, and my horse is a Christian. No, I didn't do all of that. You know, but after a while, because I didn't buy in, I refused to be conformed. I thought I'd transform the situation by sitting there with some dignity. And just look, after a while, he quit dropping them. He said, oh, I just do that to, you know, keep him. I said, is that right? It's so easy. It's so easy to quench that spirit, to allow other spirits to pull you in. We've been empowered by the third person of the Godhead. And the Bible says he dwells. The NIV King James uses the word indwells. One version says abide. But the question is, when he abides, what is he doing in there? That's a good question. I have to ask that about myself. And I want to hang out with three ideas, and I'm just going to be able to preach one because we won't have time. We got to go. we have to leave. Amen. The other spirits are beckoning. But right now, we're going to mano. We're going to stay a while. And I want you to understand from the text that the spirit, while he is living in the believer, and listen now, he doesn't come in, he doesn't visit. You can't push a spirit button on Sunday and get in there. Either you have him or you don't. Amen. And all you got to do is check the fruit. Check what fruit's coming out. Galatians 5. And if that fruit is not consistent with the fruit in the text, then there's another spirit in there. But if you hang out a while, the spirit we got can get them spirits out of there. Amen. You know them evil, they call them minions. Not the movie Minions, I don't know, but anything with a bunch of eyes, I'm worried about. Spirits. Amen. Now watch this. What does the Holy Spirit do while he's there? Well, let's go to John chapter 14 and drop down to verse 16 and 17. And if you stick with me, we're going to drop down to verse 26. Then we're going to John chapter 15 and verse 26. And then we're going to John 16 and verse 13. And then if you be good, we'll dovetail what the Spirit teaches over to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. And then I'll go get two passages from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. And then I want Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. Do you have all of that?
No.
So the Spirit of the Lord is not on you. That's all right. We'll get there. John chapter 14 and verse 16, the Bible says what?
And I will pray the Father.
And I will pray. This is Jesus now. I will pray the Father.
And he will give you another helper.
And watch this now. He's going to give you another helper. Now, what's happening here? Well, you know the 14th chapter of the book of John is that particular chapter where Jesus begins to declare that he's going to be leaving the scene. Is that right? How you know? Well, in John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Is that right? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go. And that bothered the boys. Where is he going? Now watch when the Spirit ain't there. Where is he going? If he's going, then he ain't going to be here. It's kind of obvious if you're going. And in their minds, he's going, who going to run it? So immediately, they can't hang out with the fact that he's going to prepare them a place. And he says, if I go, I'll come again and receive you there receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Is that right? But they want to know, where is he going? And then they're going to later on, they're going to ask, where is he going? And then he says in John 14 and verse 6, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now I want you to watch this now. Because the Spirit of God is there to direct you in all of those areas. But watch this. I'm going to send you another what?
Helper.
The Parakletos, that is one who comes alongside. Watch this now. The Spirit of God, the imagery here is that he comes alongside, but we know he does what? He dwells in. Now, he comes alongside not as a partner or a road dog. Amen. Now, he comes alongside as a helper, as a counselor. Is that right? And then he identifies him. He says, now, when the helper, the who? Read it.
That he may abide with you.
That the Holy Ghost, that he may abide. That's what I thought. That he may what?
That he may
do what? Abide with you forever. Now read the next verse.
The Spirit of truth.
Notice, the Spirit of truth.
Whom the world cannot receive.
Whom the world cannot receive. Listen now. Read on.
Because it neither sees him.
It doesn't see him. Now wait a minute. He's not talking about us. He's talking about the world. Amen. Which may define us. They can't what? They just can't see it. What they can't see? They can't see spiritual stuff. Say that. I'm going to make it, you know, I'm going to make my stuff hillbilly play. They can't see why they got to come back to service in the evening. They can't see why they got to come to prayer meeting. They can't see why they got to come to Bible class. Why I got to be down at that church all the time. But the Bible says these folk must be what? Of the world. But he ain't talking about us. He's talking about some other folk, because we can see. We see the necessity because of the Spirit of God pulls us to spiritual stuff. Say, amen. Listen, if something's in there to keep pulling you to carnal stuff and not to his stuff, you might want to check what's in there. Say, amen. I don't miss this now because everybody is around me. Everybody got the Holy Ghost, child. I'm full of it. You know, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. You know, you like to do all that. I hear all kind of stuff from them. I mean them. You know, just all kind of stuff. Covered. And you can be covered by the blood and you don't even have the Holy Spirit. Don't make nonsense. But the book says they can't see. What else? What else? Watch this now. Neither do they see him. Notice the language. Neither do they see him. The him there is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. They can't see him. And the reason why they can't see him, the book says what? They don't know him. Yeah, just a moment. I'm going to get to my sermon in just a minute. The word know here comes from a Greek word, genoskos, which means not only to have an intellectual assent to knowledge, that is the gathering of information, but it is to experience. Say amen. How many of y'all know me? Man, I need some help. One, two, three people. Okay. That's my fault. All right. When you know someone, first thing you have is information. Like, what's his name? Like, what's his favorite color? That's too much information. Where does he live? You know? And then you move from the surface to below surface, and then you begin, well, what's his favorite color? For instance, what's his favorite cookie? I thought you said you didn't know me. What's my favorite animal? Yeah, you see what I'm getting at? Information leads to intimate knowledge about a person to the point that you begin to what? Experience the person. But Jesus comes along and says they can't see the Holy Spirit because they don't know the Holy Spirit. Go on, read. Watch this. Hurry.
But you know him.
But look. He said, but you
know him.
You know him. Read.
For he dwells in you.
Look, wait. He dwells. Let me ask you something. Is he in there? Who are you talking about? All these he sees and he knows. What are you talking about? If you have to ask me that question, you need a session. A therapy session. Say amen. Amen. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Guess what he does? He dwells. And you'll know he's in there. How do you know? One of the first things he does, he's a teacher. John chapter 14 and verse 26. Drop down there quickly and somebody get John 15, 26 and then somebody get John 16, 13. If you help me, we'll get through with the sermon before midnight. Hurry. John 14, 26. The Bible says what?
But the helper.
There he is again. John chapter 14 and verse 17. He's a helper. John chapter 14 and verse 26. He's a helper. Anybody need help?
Yeah.
Amen. Everybody want help, but they don't want this kind of help. Everybody want help with the rent, say amen.
Amen.
With the mortgage, with DirecTV, with the cell phone bill, say amen. But you don't want spiritual help. Amen. Help me, child. Payment. No. You can get some good help right here. Matter of fact, if you get the teacher in there, he'll teach you how not to talk so much on the phone. So you don't run the bills up. Say amen, somebody. He'll teach you when to hush up. Amen. He can do some teaching. But I got to show you first. Where is he? He's dwelling in there. And what is he doing? He's a teacher. All right, John 14 and verse 26, the Bible says what?
But the helper. The Holy Spirit.
There it is. The helper, the who?
The Holy Spirit.
The helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a what?
Help.
He's a helper. Who is he here to help? Say you. Look at your neighbor and say you.
You.
Because you need help. Don't say all that. You need help. Now go on in. Watch this now.
Whom the Father will send in my name.
Whom the Father will send in my name.
He will teach you
things. Look. Underline this in your Bible. Highlight it. He will do what?
Teach you all things.
Now he's going to teach you something.
All things.
He'll teach you all things. And not only that, it gets gooder. Go on and read.
And then
he'll bring to your memory
all things.
Something.
All things.
That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. It amazes me you can remember everything but scripture. Amen. You know your address. You know your name. And you learn that by rote memory. That's how you learn. Repeat it. You didn't know what your name was until they told you. Amen. Your name Junebug. That's your Junebug. They had one night at the rodeo last night. Little old bitty fella about this high. 2 years old on the horse. His name was Junebug. I took the June off. He's just like a little bug on this saddle. But you can, but information rehearsed over and over in the mind logs in there. You'd be surprised what's in your mind and the stuff that comes out, because it was Jesus who said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he's a teacher. Is that right? And he will bring to remembrance all things. So quickly, he teaches. And then number two, not only is he a teacher, but he's the one who testifies. John 15 now and verse 26.
But when the helper comes.
There it is again. I'm not writing this in there. This is already in your Bible. Did you know it was there? He's a helper. Quit asking for help when you got help. Amen. You ain't even got to push the help button. If they don't answer the phone at night, don't worry about it. You got help already. Wake up the Holy Spirit. Quit calling Jim, Jack, and Johnny and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I gave you three passages. You said you needed help. There are three passages. The help is there, right there. Amen. I'm just trying to get to my sermon. Hurry, hurry.
But when the helper comes.
But when the helper, notice, when he comes, what are you going to do?
Whom I shall send to you.
Whom shall I send to you from the Father?
The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father.
And notice, the helper is connected to the Spirit of truth, which means he won't be lying. Amen. He ain't got to make up stuff. He ain't got to Google anything. He already knows about all that needs to be known. Look at that. You got a helper. You ain't got to go for, you ain't got to Google. Because you may get a bad connection, but the helper. Say amen. The Holy Ghost.
He will testify.
Not only will he teach, but he going to testify. Watch this now. The testimony. The Greek word here is martyrio, which means to bear witness of. And it also means to speak of. Watch this now. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, guess who he talks about? Jesus. Listen to me. It makes good sense to me. That's why we don't have nothing to say, because ain't nothing in there. But when the Spirit of God is in there, the book says he's going to teach. And watch what? He'll teach you about Jesus. Now watch this now, quickly. Next passage, y'all get these two passages out, because we're going to be here for a couple of months. Next passage is what? I said John chapter 16, and drop down to verse 13. Number one, we've learned what? That the Holy Spirit is a what? Is a teacher.
Teacher.
John chapter 16. John chapter 14 and verse 16, he's a teacher. John chapter 15 and verse 26, he is a testifier. All right, and then in John chapter what?
16.
John chapter 16, and drop down to verse 13, the Bible says what?
However,
when he,
the Spirit of truth.
The Spirit, there he is. He's the helper, he's the Spirit of truth. In all three verses, you see, you got some help, and you got some truth, so he won't be lying to you. You ain't got to be wondering why, nigga, you telling the truth. You know, whenever you have to ask somebody, you telling the truth, they lie. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Or if they say, I ain't lying. You know, I'm just saying, I've talked to person. You think I'm lying, huh? Yeah. I mean, why would somebody have a truthful discussion with you and then rubber stamp it with you think I'm lying? Well, why would you even use that? But the Spirit of God won't come along with some stuff that ain't real. But we'll come along. We'll tell you whatever you want to hear, what you want to hear, how do I look, what you want to hear. Because I know you don't want the truth. So you just look, you look wonderful. Say amen. But the Spirit of God, the helper, when he dwells in your life, will tell you the truth about you. The mirror has one picture, but the Holy Ghost got another one. He go on the inside. He go into them, you know, them rooms. Them stinky rooms. Say amen. That stuff you got locked back here in the back of the cerebrum. He get in there. Yeah, and he can make the lock. He can make change drop. Amen. He can go in there. I'm just saying, but you let him in there. And Deja was right. We don't want him in there because it's scary. You ever seen a scary movie? Yeah. You know what you do to scare? You cringe and you run out. There's another movie being playing in your head that's scarier. Say amen. And you're gonna need some help to go. You're gonna need some help to go in there. Because there's some frightening stuff in there. There's some pain in there. There's some sin in there. I ain't gonna name your sin, but there's some adultery in there. And then there's some lying in there. And some cheating in there. How do you know? Because he didn't been in my robes. Amen. Let me tell you, when a man gets free, he's not ashamed of who he used to be. Thank God that he ain't what he is. Amen. But see, it takes courage to be able to say what my sins are. Amen. Amen. And then another thing I learned, I don't tell everybody what my sins are. Why? They ain't got that spirit in them. They got another spirit. I think he's a gossiping spirit. Today he would be called the posting spirit. The spirit of post. Yeah, you better be careful what you say. To be honest, he said it, they just posted. I don't remember. It's just like CNN and Fox. They get snippets. We got folk like that in the church. Brethren get snippets. Snippets, and they post them, and that's who you are. Never be afraid of what they say about you. They don't know the truth. Quit living their lie. Accept the truth. I'd rather be exposed by God than exposed by you. God will show me mercy. But when the spirit of truth ain't in there. You see where I'm going? And now watch this now. Go, hurry. We got to go. Hurry.
He will guide you.
Now that's my third point. He will do what?
Guide you.
He will do what?
Guide you.
Look at the spirit. Number one, when he dwells in you, he teaches. He testifies. And number three, he guides. All right? Now that's the outline for the sermons for the rest of the month. And I got 7 minutes to work on one point. Y'all got a time? What if the spirit teaches, what does he teach? Well, let's go back there. Because if I remember correctly, the book says he'll teach you all things. All things. All things about what? Well, that's a good question. 2 Peter now, chapter 1 and verse number 3. And then I want Proverbs 1 and verse 7, and then Proverbs 2 and verse 6. If you get those in the next 2 minutes, we'll go home on time. All right? All right. Who has the first one?
As his divine power has given
now
to
notice
us.
Now. As this is 2 Peter 1. Write this down. And verse number 3. As his what?
Divine power.
It hit me. It hit me like an atom bomb. That he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he never said it. And his what?
Divine. His divine power.
What is his divine power? It's the Holy Spirit. Watch this now. And his divine power.
As his divine power has given to
look,
us.
Look. The Holy Spirit. Are you listening? Some of you need help, but you don't want this help. Amen. 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 You don't want this help. But this is what you need. This is what you need. Now watch this. And the Holy Spirit has given him what?
Has given unto us all things.
There's that phrase again. All things. That do what?
That pertain to life and godliness.
To life and godliness. But how does he get it?
Through the knowledge.
Through the knowledge.
Of him.
Of him who called us.
By glory and
virtue. By glory. Where?
By glory.
By glory and virtue.
By which have been given to us exceedingly great.
Look, the Holy Spirit gives you everything you need to live and to live a godly life. Amen. Y'all see that?
Yes.
Now, some of you, bless your heart, you want the Spirit to come along and just have a nice little conversation with you, make you feel good. Spirit, that ain't what he does. He could do it, but that ain't what he's doing. You know, you don't need to have a nice conversation about how nice your nails are and how good your shoes are and how your tie is matching your socks. And Spirit don't have that kind of talk with you. We're going to talk like that to you because we ain't got nothing else to say. We have nothing else in our tank other than to applaud each other's dress. Now, I ain't a gang, you looking good, but that ain't who you are. You said it best We are experts in dressing up the outside, making up stuff. Amen. Amen. I'm 57. I have to do work. I have to get up day before yesterday and start with some work. Say amen. And I told my wife the other day, why did it take so long for me to come out? I thought it was us. I'm about 30 minutes in there. What are you doing? Brushing one tooth? Trying to get that one hair? Trying to look good. For who? For who? Spend more time, watch this now, working on what the mirror is reflecting. And no time working on what the spirit is really looking at. That unforgiving, revengeful heart you got in there, Hawkins. Say amen. 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 I got a problem with not getting you back for what you've been doing. That's just the work you pray for me. Amen. But I ain't the only one. Any Avengers out there? You want to talk about the Avengers? We got some Avengers in here. Amen. Ain't all the Marvel comics at the movies, they in here. Amen. It's like, you know, you know, I'm a practical country fella. I do right by you. You mess with me, but that day for no good reason. I'm gonna get you. I start reading those Psalms. What David says, may the Lord get your family. Have y'all read those? Yeah. David got some Psalms in there. I'm going, yeah, I like that, David. Yeah, may you twist your neck off your head. But that ain't what the Holy Ghost does. Am I by myself? He's a teacher. And he gives us all things that pertain to life. But notice how they come.
Through
knowledge, and that's what we don't like. We're closing. Proverbs 1 and verse 7.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Look. You don't know anything until you know God. Amen. Know God, know nothing. I know that's not good English grammar, but I'm not trying to be a grammatician right now. I'm trying to make sense. No knowledge, no God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise. Well, where does the knowledge come from? Well, that's a good question. See, I'm making this practical. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. I said the Lord gives wisdom, but out of his mouth comes knowledge. Where does the knowledge come from? Out of his mouth. Where is his mouth? It's the word. That's why in John 14, I didn't quote that for nothing. Jesus says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Why? Because I am God. And not only that, my words reveal from God through the Spirit what you need to know. I'm going to help you by teaching you. Everything you know, you learn cognitively. Amen. You didn't get nothing supernatural. You might think it's supernatural. Amen. Figuring out that fire is hot, you don't need to be a genius to figure that out. Hey, little babies learn that very early. You tell them don't touch that, they're going to touch it, then they'll be teaching you hot. Say amen. You done told that little squirrel head, that little baby, do not touch that, that's hot. And guess what they do? They do what you do. When Jesus say you don't do something, I got to touch that, because he didn't say I got to touch it for touching sake. And you touch it and you find out it's hot. Amen. Then the little kid, you get ready to touch it. Hot mommy. Say amen. We ought to look at some of that stuff in our life and go, hot, that's hot. Son, that's hot. Stay away. That's hot. Stay away from that. Say amen. So, the Spirit teaches.
Yeah.
And he teaches you through the word. So the folk, we want an experience with the Holy Spirit. But you don't want to experience the word. Say amen. And there will be no giddy feeling, no hair standing on the back of your neck. No, God works through your mind cognitively. And then as that spirit matures your development, then he'll expose to you more about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is acquired through obedience, faith in the word of God. Everybody wants a religious experience, but don't nobody want to get in the word. Amen, amen. Now, everybody but us. Listen, we used to be a people, well, we was in the quoting Bible. Now, we need to open up and really read it and study it. But then it's time to get past that. I'm tired of studying scriptures. Let's start living some of this stuff. We've been talking about book, chapter, and verse, and he did that, and you do that. Be what you read. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so the Spirit will help you. He'll help you. Listen, you can be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit's going to help you. Yeah. How? By obeying the word of the Lord. But we don't like that. So we want our experience. We want God to come along and just, whew, you're all good. It doesn't work like that. Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, is cognitive. He's a power that comes from God, given to us to help us. Listen, God himself said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And maybe this morning, your number one challenge is that you've been rejecting good teaching from the Word. The Word will teach you right from wrong. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Word will teach you, but you got to get in the Word. And that word will convict you when you get ready to do wrong. Every time I do wrong, it pops up. I go to reading, and the Spirit reminds me. Vincent, that's you. That's you. You need to learn to forgive and move on. And then I close it and say, well, study something else. Then I open up here again, read. And the same Spirit, he keeps on running through all of the Bible. I can't find no place in here where he ain't here. Can you? Somebody say, yeah, I can find. No, you can't. No, you can't. If you're here this morning and you've been living outside of the realm of the Spirit's work in your life, then you're not getting the help that you need. And the help that's coming your way is inadequate. That's why you're still searching, looking for help in all the wrong places. You didn't Google 1-800, called 1-800-HELP-ME. Amen. But you don't know, they're in business to get paid. Yeah. They can't help you. And what was that woman's name? Cleo. I guess she done gone out of business. Listen. We are believers. You got help. You got the best help on the planet. You don't have to read The Magic of Thinking Big or, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence Folks. You ain't got to read this. Get some help. Some real help. Some truthful help. And start living out that reality. But it involves, number one, acquiring knowledge from the Word of God. It involves, number two, embracing that knowledge. Part of that knowledge this morning is the reality that Jesus came to save you. That's Luke's message. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. And if you're here, listen, you can be baptized and still be lost. I know a lot of baptized lost folk. Amen. They don't know which way to go. They don't know what to do. They don't know who to marry or what to marry. I can help you with that. The Holy Ghost can help you with that. So you better ask for some help. Because the system out there, you'll be marrying a dog. It won't be long. So there'll be a wedding between a man and his horse, but it'll never happen on my watch. You can believe that, Junior. I'm telling you. What's going down. And then to think that the curriculum today is designed to teach a genderless society at an elementary level, the most informed. That's why you better know that you need help and not be relying upon this system to educate your children.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, most of our folk are getting education from this system. And that's why there's so much imbalance. Folk are out of sync. And when you're imbalanced, you become, you know, just oblivious to what's going on. And after a while, it confronts your reality and you're lost. Is there an answer? How far down in the spiral of things must we go before we can get help? And Jesus says, I'm here. I'll help you. I'll meet you where you are. And bring you to where you need to be. So that worship is not a bore. Spiritual things are not second place. That they really matter. If you're here this morning and you need Jesus, that's all we have to offer as a church. No more, no less. Anything more is too much. Anything less is not enough. Jesus, You come by faith, repentance, and baptism. Acknowledge that he alone is Lord. And he said he's coming back. We sing about it. Are we really anticipating his return? That's a fearful thought, to live a life anticipating he can come in any time. I've often thought about that. Are you here and you need him? You've been doing it your way? Get some real help. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are waiting for you. We come right now as we together stand and sing.